Mount, and I think we're doing well. We've come 42 verses. This section is an interesting one for me because there's so many buttons one can push in this portion of scripture that I really pray that the Holy Spirit will help you take this home, because maybe at best my effort this morning is just going to stir the cup or stir your heart a bit and bring things to the surface. But you're going to have to do due diligence at home. Amen? You're going to have to take it deeper. As I'm looking at my slide, I realized Matt at Matthew needs two T's. Isn't that correct? So don't correct me, police. I saw it myself. Okay, just make forgiveness, retaliation, and justice. Now, when you read that line, it sounds so formal and almost like state-like or law-like. But I'm telling you what, that this message this morning, it goes to day-to-day life. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will show us how to do this. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is extremely heart-piercing, and it is supposed to shock one into, wow, did Jesus just say that? Because what Jesus is doing on the Sermon on the Mount is he's announcing a different kingdom. And so he acknowledges even some of the good things in the world, in this kingdom, but he announces a kingdom with higher standards, with different standards. And we're going to feel that tension as well in our world. Now let's read just these couple of verses, and then I'll head into it. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Who as young children had this preached to you by your mother? Come on, hands up. Ek het in 'n woelige straat groot geword. Ons het baie gefight. And I often heard about this. We'll get to the right context this morning. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, this is foreign to us, but we'll understand it in a moment. Let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles, and give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, what I want to do is I want to paint a little bit of a context for forgiveness and retaliation. You know, it is important that if you cannot play rugby on a paddle court, okay, and you cannot play paddle on a cricket pitch. It does not work. This is very important that we get to the right context of the scripture. Otherwise, we start applying in the wrong way. Now, I'm not saying scripture is hard to read. I'm just saying sometimes we use more common sense when we read other material than what we apply when we read the Bible. Now, I just want to get us on the right court here, and then this text will come alive maybe a little bit more. Firstly, if we go to that scripture that says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we need to understand that Jesus is drawing for a moment out of state law or governing law. Okay? Before he goes to if someone slaps you. Okay? Now, this idea, let me just start on this side. You've got such a thing as a personal wrong or a personal conflict. An interpersonal conflict would be a dispute between two individuals. When you asked me to marry you and I said yes and you gave me the ring, I expected of you to keep your word. I stopped my life. And now, you're telling me you don't want to marry anymore. Now, what you need to realize, there is no state crime was committed. Do you agree with me? but the heart was broken. That is a personal offense. Okay, it's not a sin against the law of the country, it's a sin against a person. See, met me? Right. In that same category, a personal grievance or resentment, because I feel you mistreated me, you humiliated me, or a private wrong, a breach of agreement. We shook hands, and I said I would do this, you would do that, and then I did that, but you never came back, and you don't answer my calls. I feel personally wronged. Now, most of this text is actually on the field of personal wrongs. But before we can go there too deep, let's go to the other side, to the society, a sin against society or a state sin, because Jesus actually starts there because he draws something from it. When he says an eye for an eye, he's speaking about societal sin. Now, I'm going to explain that, but we had personal wrongs. Let's just talk about societal wrongs or sins for a moment. A journey needs to be taken in a court of law because a crime has been committed in an area. All right. Now, with those, you can't just say, I forgive you. Okay, you took a car and you had too much to drink and then you drove over my child. Okay. Whether I find personal peace and forgiveness in my heart towards you, that's one thing. That's a personal matter, personal box. But there is a lawful journey that needs to start about a person with a license in South Africa that drove a car under the influence of alcohol and killed a person. And this thing needs to be concluded where? Under state law. That's two different things. And so we need to navigate here. What are we talking about when? Otherwise, rakus de makar. Someone might say, yeah, but the Bible says we must forgive people. Why do we put them in prison? Because of sin against society. And by the way, Western state law is based on the Bible. I'll get to that now. It's from God. We see it in Romans 13. We see it all over the scripture. There's nothing wrong with the state, the government, having a process to deal with sins against the people. Okay. Is jylle met my waarheid so as jy my verstaan? All right. What can that include? A public wrong. Example of that, Steinhoff. Stealing people's retirement funds, money. Now, you need to find as a person forgiveness in your heart towards that person, but they will still be prosecuted. There's two things. Very important. A social harm. This could be something like systemic injustice, something like apartheid. Okay? It hurt a group of people socially. It was wrong. All right? You might feel as a parent it's wrong if schools takes an approach on sex education toward my six-year-old that I feel violate our values. And what you're talking about now is whether you're going to forgive that teacher or not. This is something you want to take up higher to ask the country or the state, can we change this? It's two different things. A crime against the collective or the vulnerable. If you've got a person that sexually harassed a young child and that person is on the loose, it means there's a vulnerable group in the country at risk for that person walking the streets. So we're talking about the law of society there. Very important that we understand this. Now, this term, eye for an eye, who knows what this means? Okay, listen, I've got a degree in physical sciences, not in law. So what I learned, I studied. So some of you guys, the procureurs, you can help me afterwards if I get something a little bit wrong. But this idea, lex talionis, who knows what it means? Yes, now I'm going to sound very smart because now no, I just read it, okay? It's actually also in my Bible's commentary. It speaks to the law of retribution or retaliation. And what it means simply is that the punishment or justice should match the severity of the crime. It's the basis on which law is built. Okay? Because the person that commits the crime, they want to come off with less of a consequence. Ek wil nie tronk toe gaan nie. The person who's making the case, they want them dead. And their family, and their dog, and 2 million for emotional damages, and 3 million for, okay? But then the law says, no, no, no. The law of retribution says the punishment or the retribution should match the crime. Okay, so you can't ask to put someone in prison for life for driving over your dog. Like that doesn't match. Okay, but a serial murderer, now you see, now somewhere here, this people smarter than me have figured out what does it mean to match crime with retribution. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. Now, let me read for you a portion of scripture from Exodus. It's not on there. Now follow Lex Talianos in this text. It says, when two men fight or strive together and they hit a pregnant woman. Now, listen, has this ever happened? We don't know, but this is now this law being explained to the people. Imagine two men fighting and they fight over a pregnant woman. That's comical, eh? Like, not that someone gets hurt, but imagine that. Like, who thinks of it? And now when men strive together and they hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, okay? But there's no harm. Why is the writer saying this? Because he wants to illustrate the retribution should fit the crime. There's no harm to the child. The one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. Why? Because now this woman didn't plan to fall, and she got a cut here, and so the doctor had to fix this, and then the baby came out not in a safe space, so there was special treatment, and so the cost is now more because of these two palookas fighting. And so who's going to pay for all these extra damages? They are responsible. Right, but now listen up. But if there's harm, you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. They're not saying, they don't want to take us all the way to, if you kill someone, let's kill you. What they're trying to say is, as soon as there's more damages, there will be more consequences. It's just the principle here, right? That's why if someone is a thief, a robber, okay, they will get tried in the courts, right? Agree with me. That is the journey of the state. If someone is a serial murderer, they will also be tried by the courts, right? That's the journey. But the retribution for being a thief might land at another place as being a murderer. Lex Talianos. The retribution must fit the crime. This is a book of the law. Okay, that's why I've got this thing here. Okay. That's why you also get your payment for driving 75 in a 60 zone. I know what that costs because that's my favorite type of fine in the world. That 60 zones, is different than driving 200 in a 60 zone. Why? Lex Talianos. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. You probably will, you might not cause an accident as certain when you drive 75 as opposed to 200 in town. Okay, so Lex Talianos. Now, Jesus is starting there because he's saying we know there's a journey of the law that needs to take, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But now when we go to personal matters, we don't always have to invoke a law-like process. Sometimes a wrong can just be absorbed by love and grace. Now you may refer, yeah, but you know when, and you might have a right to stand on, but you know what? There's a place where you actually receive a slap on the face, where a lawful process is not needed. And it's wisdom to distinguish which one is which. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples. When someone defame you or speak ill about you and your company and they spread lies about you, is that a personal or state matter? Could go to the state if you want to, but it's actually a personal matter. No one is killed, no one is robbed. So what you can do right there is you can confront and forgive. Are you with me? And it hurts you in your heart. But now, sometimes the two are one. Let me explain. A sin is committed against your family. There's many sins that can be committed against your family. And this thing needs to be reported to the police. Any sexual crime must be reported. That's a good guidance. Someone was hit, stabbed with a knife, kicked in the face. That is something that should be reported. Now, it is a case in the state that's going to run its course, an eye for an eye. But the problem is it was my family. So what is it to me also? Personal. It's one thing when someone is tried in court for hitting your child. I might be mad with you, but when they hit my child, it is deeply personal. Now there's two types of hearts I can carry while this criminal is being tried. The first, I don't have another hand. Where's this knife? I had a knife here. Someone probably cleaned it up. It's okay. While my offender is being tried for assaulting my child, I can have a heart that wants to see this guy grind to powder. There must be nothing. I'm going to sue everything off him. I wish him no love in life, because when you touch my family, the animal comes out. A little bit instinctive about us as humans. Or the journey of the law can take place, but there's a different type of heart in me. Not saying this mustn't happen, but just what's in my heart has been changed by the Lord. I want to give you two examples. Who knows Ava Moses Kaur? World War II readers. She was 9 years old, taken to a concentration camp with her family. They were spread into different concentration camps. Her parents died, her older sisters died in gas chambers. She and her twin sister, because they were twins, they were used for medical trials. And so they stuck needles in them, they abused them, they misused them in all types of ways to find out, to learn, to use them as, because they're worth nothing to us and our regime. And she came out, I think she was 10 or 11, with her whole family dead except one sister, and became a spokesperson for forgiveness, including the doctor, Dr. Joseph Mengele, who did these tests on her. Does that mean Dr. Joseph Mengele, because she has forgiveness in her heart, should not be trialed? No. State law. What you did was a crime against society and the vulnerable. He must be trialed. What she said is, I just want you to know, for your peace, doctor, as you do your trial, I'm the one you stuck the needles into. I forgive you. Okay. Now, what that can do to this person on trial is it can change their life. Okay. And so I'm playing with these two things because we need to understand this. Someone else, she tells the story, but I won't use her name because it's her story to tell. It is a public story, but it's a well-known, it's a public figure, Christian woman in South Africa, was brutally gang raped in her home by three men. and they were sentenced to prison. The journey was taken, Lex Talianos. You know what she did? She went and visited them, granted them forgiveness and shared the gospel with them and led them to the Lord. Does it mean they must now come out of prison? No. It's a bearing of consequences. But now what we see here is the one who was sinned against had a different heart and wanted to see this person receive spiritual redemption, even though in one sense for life they would be in prison. Okay, that's a little bit of a long intro. Now, I want to give you four things to think about. I think I've stirred a lot amongst us because sins have happened to you. Sins have happened through you. Your family has offended you if you're older than 10 years old. And you have also offended them. Can I also say that? You have said things that you should not have said, and things have been said to you that was very hurtful if you are alive and breathing. Some of you are here today, but you're actually so guarded for church because of the hurts given to you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Today is a message for you. The words of Jesus. How do we do this? It's one thing to say, have a heart like this Christian woman, but how do you get there? That's what we're going to get at. Okay, let's hit it. Turning the cheek. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him. Now, this is the opposite of the victim mentality we see in the world now. If you do this, I sue you. If you do this, I take you to court. CCMA. You know, I'm so trigger happy. Like, just try and miss a step with me. Jesus says, no. Because a slap on the right cheek, it actually doesn't refer to physical abuse. You know the playground sins of the fights, the Aniparki? That's actually not what it's talking about. When in Roman times you took your right hand and gave someone a backhand over their cheek, it was like spitting in their face. It was an insult, being personally insulted or defamed. Now what Jesus is saying, and we'll get to why, but because you are in me, insults no longer takes the same way to you. Before, when you got insulted, a bom het ontplof, dit gaan 'n oorlog wees. But now that you're in me, in my kingdom, it works a little bit different. Let them try with the left hand also. Why? Because it doesn't have the same effect to what it used to have in your life. Let me read fast. When he was reviled, this is Jesus, he did not revile in return. If we just go on to the next slide. Oh, there we go. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Very important line there. He himself bore our sins on the body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You see the God who does not retaliate, but in fact offer himself to absorb wrath that is not his. Now, once again, I want to stop here. When this South African Christian personality was raped by three men, this when he was reviled, did not revile in return, does not say these men must not be prosecuted. We're talking about state law. But it was not, it's not the law that she should go to them and preach the gospel and grant forgiveness. But she did it out of a heart that leans in. All right, so our heart in the matter is so important. When he was oppressed and he was afflicted, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Oh, thy tongue, man. Like absorbing insults or being showed in a bad light. I'm just writing this email to make sure everything is clear. Let it be noted. You know, and you know the problem is it takes us 4 days to write that email, and that 4 days, ons is soos 'n donderstorm. Die hond word nie gevryf nie, die kat word nie ge... We are so mad, we are so worked up, whereas there was deliverance for us the moment the insult came. We could have bounced back. We lie awake, we've got nightmares, we've got conversations in our heads, and what does Jesus want to do? He wants to deliver us. He opened not his mouth. How do we do this? Okay, we draw from him. First thing, I'm going to give you 4 points this morning. With Jesus bearing my shame, insults find no fertile ground. My value is now dictated by him. And he puts me in a secure place, whereas if someone says this or that, you know what? It's still not nice to hear bad things about yourself. Let's be honest. I mean, who loves to be insulted? There must be something a little bit wrong with you. But it doesn't fall on fertile ground anymore. So dis amper soos daai saaier, nê, wat saai en dan val party saad val op die klip. Dit val. And for a day maybe it hurts you, for an hour this little seed comes up, but you know what? The ground underneath has been changed by your salvation. You're not a victim. You're a victor. You are redeemed in him. Nou sê iemand, ja, die ou is nie meer dieselfde nie. Hy was net so lekker ou gewees. Nou sê hy so, you know what? Turn the other cheek and advance. Jesus goes from state matters, cheek for cheek, tooth for tooth, eye for eye, to personal. We're talking mostly about personal things. Does it make sense? Like, so I don't want to move on from this. This is so simple to see. But you know what? You know that there's people that derail their whole lives. They call everything a halt because of what this person said, what that person did not say. I did this, but they gave the props to that person. And so we often get a whole life derailed just by this. Don't be in an invisible prison and live your life there. Because he has taken your shame, what can man do? There's no fertile ground. So don't hang around too long. Let it bounce off. Amen, everyone? Let's go on. If anyone sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, this is for us a weird thing, but let me just explain. Just read from Exodus 22. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return to him before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep? Now, in those times, this is an Exodus. This is long before Jesus. I come to you, you've got a little metal shop with tools. I come like, I really need a hammer right now. I just need to put some wood together. He's like, I'm not giving you my hammer because you don't bring it back. Then what do you say? Okay, here is my cloak. I will bring it back. Jy weet het raak koud. Moenie worry nie, die hammer kom terug. Then you would leave your cloak. You take the hammer, because remember, you don't have a credit card to which they can freeze 5,000 rand for the damages you will incur. Hulle vat jou baadjie. Now what the scripture is saying, please return to the man his cloak. You know it's for his body, all right? So don't withhold. Now, let's go back. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, what is it talking about? It's saying, and don't let the word sue hold you captive too long. Even if someone did this to you in a friendship or in a business, what this means is they worked you into a position where you felt naked and exploited. You used to feel covered in this relationship, but now you feel open, exposed. This relationship and the way we started was for me like something that covered me. Like I found great hope in this friendship or this venture we did together, this marriage. But now after this person did this or that, it feels like that was taken away. I'm now exposed here. And then Jesus said, let him have your cloak as well. Okay, this is extremely countercultural. You know, if we obeyed this, the rechtsstelsel sal asemhaal. Because people would not be running around chasing one another. And I'm not talking about sins against the vulnerable, the weak. I'm talking about die persoon die van my gesê and you know, this nonsense. Things that could have been ended by forgiveness. Now, I want to say that the enemy, remember, because it's a spirit of slavery, he wants to work you into a corner of wanting you to feel naked and ashamed and exploited. That is one of the agendas of the enemy with you. He uses your past, your future, your dreams, your, like nothing about you is right with him. But we need to understand the following. Let me just say this. Now, Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. I want to tell you, anything any human can take from you is as best a filthy garment. It's earthly. It's not going anywhere. But I want to tell you that you've been clothed in a different way in your heart of hearts, in your spirit. So where do we get the courage when someone exposes me to let go and say, that's all right? We get it here by remembering, drawing from Christ, the one covered by Jesus. We go to the next slide. Is always clothed before the Father. Okay, which means in the essence of your being in Christ, your sins have been forgiven, you've been granted a white cloak, and before God, you are standing clothed, as opposed to Adam and Eve, who was in sin and running away. Now, the little exposing that people want to do to you, it's this is a klein wankie, okay? But what we need to do is we need to live a Christ-centered life, or this will not work. The Sermon on the Mount is not good advice. It's very hard advice unless you are in Christ. How do you do this? You have to draw from him. So someone took something about me or said something about me so that in the light of people, when they look at me, they see me in a bad light. You know what? When the Father looks at me, he sees Christ. I don't like it to be insulted, but I can actually deal with it because I'm clothed before him. Where will you, to whom is the audience you are pitching yourself to? This is a question. All right? Because if one sees yourself as a public figure that wants to pitch yourself to the public, it's a big thing when someone takes your cloak. It's a big thing when you get criticized. You've heard Facebook. Have you ever seen Afrikaners gesien op a Facebook comment? Yes, like it. This is iets ongelooflijks om te beleef. But you see, because I know that one day I have to face the Father, and that was a problem for me with all my sins. But now in Christ, I'm forgiven and clothed before him. It matters less to me what people say or don't say. And this is a bridge we need to get over. It's a very important one. What it also does here is when there is a state case or a criminal case, I'm like, this person did this. They were drunk and they were driving and then they hit my child. I at least thought they were drunk. That's why I made the case. And now this case goes. I'm taking a part of my heart out of this case. You know what? The government is their responsibility to figure out Lex Talianos. So now if this guy's verdict ends here, I'm not back on social media, pulling in funds, opening, getting a more expensive look. You know what? There's a part of me, the country must do the right thing, but I'm not going to leave my heart there because you know what? I'm clothed with something else. I'm going to go on and live my life. guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for studying, being lawyers and stuff. I'm reporting what happened. Our hearts are broken. But you know what? There's a sense where my whole, there's a place where my whole life can go into this. And people have lived their lives in courts. What a sad life. What a sad life. We do the right thing and we advance by living for the Lord. Amen? Almost done. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Again, Jesus on the offense. Now, in just some context, in the Roman jurisdiction, a Roman officer could force a Jewish man or other immigrants to assist them by carrying stuff up to 1 mile. The mile comes from this word million. It was a, it means 1,000 double steps. Like, that's why a mile is a little bit, it's like 1.6 kilometers, am I right? Like, it's a double step. And it's a, it was also the baseline measurement which they used to measure, like, properties and stuff. It was their baseline. But you might sit here and think, yeah, but that's not that. I'm quite fit. I can do a mile. Yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's about the inconvenience. Like, just imagine, okay, for a moment. Jy het heel week beplan. Jy gaan vanaand 6 uur paddle speel. Jy's die weer is mooi. Okay? Jy's op pad, ancient Rome. You are walking to the paddle court. It's about 1 kilometer from your home. Just as you exit your home, Roman officer, kom hier so, jy gaan daai kant toe stap vir my met die goed. We were planning, we were hoping, we were ready. I'm supposed to go that way. Now what happens is begrudgingly and mad, acts obvious, I got an inconvenience for it. It's his personal weakness, sorry. I take this stuff and I'm like, happy? And Jesus says, no, change your heart. How hard is that? That stuff. If you feel like you're being wronged, if you feel like you're being inconvenienced, show something from a different spirit. Now what Jesus is doing here is he's announcing the kingdom to these people, but he's also preparing their hearts, because you know what Jesus Christ would do with you in your life if you really follow him? He's going to do this to you. Welcome to being a disciple that reads and obeys the word and listens to the voice of the Spirit. A man has his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. Come on. So he's preparing us for a life of servitude. Why? Mark 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give himself a ransom for many. Follow me and live like, very hard, very hard. Now look what this personality did in South Africa. She was raped. And the law took its course, person in prison. You know what she asked? She asked herself, has someone ever presented the gospel to that man? What is that? Going a mile that she should not have gone or not expected of her. I want to tell you about the day I gave my life to Jesus, and he can do the same for you. I forgive you. God can forgive you. Can you repent of your sin? Going the extra mile. You are the light of the world, city on a hill. It's not about who can speak in tongues the loudest, people. It's nonsense. It's these things that's tough. It's these things that penetrates hearts, but they are the toughest because they are inconvenient and you need to gain strength in your heart. Since Jesus came to serve, every mile I serve is a mile closer to his likeness. We can go to that next slide, please. Where do we draw strength for this? Because we don't only want to see it as duty, we want to draw in. It's like, okay, this is tough, but Jesus hangs on a cross by people who kills them, takes his cloak, takes his clothes, he's naked, beat them, spit on him, mock him. He says, Father, will you forgive them? There's a lady in South Africa that gets sinned against by men. She goes and does something similar to Jesus. Like, Lord, if you've forgiven me, maybe you can do it for this man also. Every mile I serve is a mile closer to his likeness. Some of you, do you know who does this? Parents. and grandparents. And some of you are like really leaving it out on the field, everything. You are serving your kids with their kids. And I want to tell you, you are doing the Lord's work, a lot of you. You it is not in vain, because in your serving, you are actually carrying resemblance to someone else, to Jesus. Then there are people here who not only take responsibility for their own families, they take responsibilities for people that's not born to them. Every mile you serve is a mile closer to his likeness. What if Jesus wants to interrupt your life right now? Yeah, but we're building here. No? So that's the location. Yeah, but we plan. Look, I don't know what he's saying to you. All I'm saying is be ready. Because he always has a better plan. Give to the one who begs from you. It's almost like it ends on a verse that it's easier to understand. And do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Simply saying that the heart going after Jesus naturally then produces generous acts in this world. It's almost just like landing that piece. So when you read the scripture again, this passage, may your heart be stirred again. And may it lead you to pray and say, but Lord, this is hard. I don't want to go extra mile yet. I feel I've gone 20 miles for these people already. Lord, how can you allow them to say that to me? Now, I'm not saying it's easy to obey Jesus in this, but what I'm saying is you've got a great source to draw from. And he's got a great plan with your life. We can add that last slide on there. This morning we can meditate in our seats. Let's draw from him. In him, we saw the one who was insulted on our behalf. His clothes was taken, and he did it for us. He took our shame by being shamed. And let's remember that living as a Christian, living with shame is locking yourself in a prison that's not yours to be in. So it's not even locked. You don't even have to look. Sometimes you don't have to look for a generational curse, okay? Sometimes you must just repent for constantly living under a shame and keeping yourself there with your words and your thoughts. Get out. Walk out. The doors are open. He took your shame. And then in Jesus, we get someone who came not, he didn't walk a mile on earth to serve us. He came from heaven onto earth, walked for 33 years all the way, and then finally walked up the cross. And then there was a man who had to help him carry the cross. Simon, remember why? A robe. We want to lift it up as a great deed. The Roman officer said, carry this thing. Had to stop what he was doing and carry, because that was Roman law. Jesus had help all the way up the hill where he finished his journey so that he can send us in a similar way to walk into the lives of others and serve them. I want to close with this. There was two primitive tribes that was at war. This is a true story. And so the one tribe would burn some houses, go over the hill, burn some houses of the one tribe. And then it would be a couple of weeks these guys would prepare, and then they would go with their torches. They would torch their houses. And then these guys would draw the men out for war, and then other men would go and hurt the women and children. And then these guys would wait and recover a couple of weeks, and then they would do the same. And so it happened until the gospel fell on one tribe. And someone said, this is the end. They're like, how can it be the end? They did this. We're going to extend forgiveness today, and we're going to allow God to judge. And the day when they realized God is the judge, and they didn't go over the hill again, and the war ceased. Sometimes you need one party to accept the gospel. And this morning I want to ask you, just where you are sitting, just on your own, like, where's the tension in your life? Where's the slaps that you've received on the cheek? Where have you been uncovered? It's taken from you, your tunic, your cloak. And some of you already, even as I was preaching, you were thinking of people. Ask the Holy Spirit right now. Let's pray together. Let's be prayerful for a moment. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us navigate this according to the Sermon on the Mount. And let me guide us for a moment. Let's start with family members. It's a good one to start. Parents, children, or siblings. Holy Spirit, if there's any people that we should forgive this morning, I pray that you'll show their faces to your people right now. Some of you are thinking and seeing family members. I want you to say the words, Lord, I forgive them. Just in your heart. Ek vergewe hulle. And for some of you, you need to say for what? For hurting me. I forgive them for taking from me. Let's go to friends, business partners, friends we held in confidence. And then the relationship got sour. Just ask the Lord for forgiveness. And some of you have asked for forgiveness, but the other party has built a wall. Just ask the Lord to give you patience and peace in the matter, because you've done your due diligence. Relationships, romantic relationship, marriages, engagements, hurts there. If there's anything there that comes to mind, let's do our due diligence this morning. Say, Lord, I forgive. Societal crimes that happened, but you were the victim. And maybe there was a measure of justice, the person maybe in jail, or maybe if it was less intense, there was some kind of a intervention and they were corrected, but you still in your heart, like, you want to take more. Now this is where the gospel say, you must now decide whether you want to be free or a prisoner. So when you say, I forgive my offender, you are not saying what they did were right. You are saying that you forgive them. God will bring his justice system into play. But as for you, you can walk out of this prison. Okay? And so get those words out. And then some of you need to actually forgive yourself. It's called regrets. And sometimes you can even joke about it and say, oh, I actually regret doing this or that. But sometimes it's more than a joke. You actually wished that you did it differently. And you're mad at yourself. Now the decision is whether you're going to allow the Lord to heal you. Remember, He wants to dress you, clothe you before the Father, which means if you advance, you can advance in a right standing with God with the power of the Holy Spirit taking you forward. But you need to come over the past. And so maybe one or two of you must just say, Lord, You have forgiven me because I asked. But now I'm also going to forgive myself and make a peace and advance. Let's take a moment to pray through that. Then the last thing I want you to do, then we'll head out. If you are here with your spouse or with a friend, someone you know, will you share with them one thing that the Holy Spirit just pressed on you? If it's very personal, find a way to share it. Just share with them. Jesus, een ding wat die Here vir my vanoggend sê. Because once you open that conversation with that person, you can always swing back to it at home. And I think that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to massage it into our hearts. So just take a minute and share with your friend or your spouse. If you are here alone, just don't get up right now. Let's just give it a moment for the Lord to work. 1 minuut, wat het vir jou gepop vanoggend? Wat sê die Gees? If the Lord has like opened a wound this morning and you actually feel quite vulnerable, what do you need to do? Come back next week, worship and take what God gives next week. Come back the week after that, worship and take what He gives. So sometimes the Lord opens a wound, but you need to keep it clean with scripture worship. Because if you open it up, but you only put television in there, it's not going to be helpful. Amen. So allow the Lord to tend to that area that He's working on. Bless you guys. See you soon. Please, it's a pleasure, Smithy. It's a pleasure. Grab a coffee and see you soon again.